They're very loud. They really want it more than me sometimes.
Hello and welcome to the AO Show, day 3 of the Australian Open, and another beautiful day and evening here at Melbourne Park. On the show today, a look at a vital cog in the Oz Open wheel, tournament control.
We facilitate anything that needs to happen on court for a match to go ahead. So when the chair umpire picks up the phone, they talk to us.
We quiz the fans on their AO trivia.
I have no idea.
Pat Rafter? Did Philippoussis ever win it?
Plus, we go inside the Australian Open's very own barbershop. But first, plenty of excitement in the day session today. Melbourne is known for having one of the biggest Greek populations outside of Greece, and two Greek players in action on court three today received some fantastic support from the fans. Stefanos Tsitsipas and Maria Sakkari both progressing to the third round, each of them really enjoying the energy out on court.
Yeah, they're great. They're a bit too loud sometimes, but what can you do? They enjoy it. I should just concentrate on my game. But it's great having them next to me. In difficult times, it helps. They're very loud. They really want it more than me sometimes. most of the guys are great. I know a few of them. So far, they're fantastic.
It's really nice to go out there and feel, you know, all this support. I mean, most of the crowd was with me today. Of course, there were a lot of Australians, but it was really nice.
Yes, great to see the fans out in numbers and such strong support too. It was like a European football crowd out there today. Tim Solly caught up with Brett Phillips to break it all down for us.
Were you across Tsitsipas and Sakkari today down there at Show Court 3, and what did you see?
Yeah, absolutely. I find it hard not to watch Stefanos, and so he's gone from 91 to 15 last year, and he's only going to get better.
And what's your take on the Greece fans? They're pretty wild here at Melbourne Park. Have you been out there and experienced that?
They haven't had too many players to celebrate. I mean, Stefanos is the only Greek male-ranked player. So they are just appreciating having a Greek presence. And, you know, we saw it with, you know, all the Greek Cypriot in Marcos Bagdatis going back a decade ago, making a final, how passionate they were. So they've been few and far between. So at least two might go okay.
The AO radio team also reacted to Tsitsipas and Sakkari today. Bridget Duclos and Richard Evans were joined by Sam Duncan.
We had two stars of Greece playing, and all the people were gathered around and they were loving it. Is it right that we've got the second biggest population outside Athens of Greek people?
Oh, I do not know.
Oh, you're an academic.
Sorry.
A lot of people have told me that.
Yeah,
this is the second biggest Greek city in the world.
Well,
there you go.
Well, they started off with Maria Sakkari. She defeated the young Aussie wildcard Astra Sharma 6-1, 6-4. Then the very, very popular young 20-year-old.
Tsitsipas. Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Yes, he had
my
a win.
Goodness,
6,
what
3, 2,
a presence
6,
he is, talking about presence.
Oh, isn't he?
And he is going to become very, very big indeed. I mean, he's got a grand slam in him. You can see that the way he carries himself. His game is big and powerful and full of confidence. And I think the sky's the limit for him.
This city, which considers itself the sporting capital of Australia, hosts a lot of world-class events, but none better. One, and this is part of the reason why
controversial,
this is
but
the
true.
Best because of the colour it brings, because of the groups of supporters from different countries and cultures that come out proudly supporting their own, because of what, you know, the types of scenes we saw on Show Court 3 today. There is something brilliant about it. You know, it's educational in a sense because we see them out in force, we learn where players are from, we're curious about their countries. We may not have invested too much time in researching them before. And I think it's just a great celebration of all the differences coming together in one glorious event at the start of the year.
I think it's great because of all the countries of Europe, you could say that Greece has produced the fewer good tennis players than anyone else.
So to have two at once.
With due respect to my dear friend Nick Kalaitis, who was a good player but far from a great one. And now they've got these two players who are both seriously good. And as I say, Tsitsipas is going to win something.
Also on day three, Ashleigh Barty is through to the third round, which equals her best finish at the Oz Open. And the question now is, can she go further? And she will, in fact, face Maria Sakkari, so it'll be interesting to see how the local support turns out. But Barty says she's feeling fit and ready.
Oh, I feel great. Obviously, a straight sets match is obviously more straightforward than a three-setter, but anytime you can take a win, you gain confidence from that. But certainly, my body's feeling great. Very nice to come out with two really clean matches. And now we get to look forward to doubles and a bit more singles as well.
It was a strong performance today from Barty, and once again, Tim Solly and Brett Phillips have all the reaction.
Brett, reaction dash Barty winning and going through to the third round.
No surprise, really. That's where she should be now, every Grand Slam. Made the fourth round of the US. So I think the expectation now is that she's ready to get to that quarterfinal stage. And, you know, Alicia Molik said 3 days ago that she could possibly win the tournament. And I wouldn't put it past her. I mean, that's women's tennis right now. It's so open. I mean, Simona Halep, you know, a bit of a scare early against Kanepi last night. We're going to see Kerber tonight. And, you know, it's open. But Ash, you know what she's going to bring. It's just solid. You know, serves good. Volleys beautifully. Slice backhand's world class. I mean, most play that as a defensive shot. She hits winners off a slice backhand. Just knows her way around a tennis court. So for Wang of China today, it was just too big a ball, too many spins coming back. She didn't have the answer. And I reckon Ash quietly, she's very humble, doesn't give much away, but she'd be pretty confident where her game is at right now.
What do you think are the big improvements in her game in the last 12 months to get her to rank number 15 in the world?
Serve in women's tennis. If you can get 3 points off the serve, so there's no doubt she's added some real kick to that serve and hits her spots really well. I mean, she's serving now, you know, good amount of aces per match, which you wouldn't have seen from Ash. I mean, no one in the women's game I can think of apart from Serena, and you had, you know, Sabine Lisicki there for a little while, and, you know, Osaka's now become one of the big servers and gets 3 points. But I think that's where she's getting a real lift, and I think it's just incremental improvement across all the areas.
Who was the last Australian man to win a men's singles Australian Open title?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
Rod Laver?
Pat Rafter?
Leighton Hewitt?
Rod Laver?
Did Philippoussis ever win it?
Roswell Anderson? No idea.
It was Mark Edmondson back in 1976. What about the women's side of the draw? Who was the last Australian woman to win the women's singles title at the Australian Open?
Yvonne Cawley?
Margaret Court?
Stosser, is she Aussie?
Yvonne Cawley?
It was Chris O'Neill in 1978. Which of the current Australian men is going to be the next to win the Australian Open?
Alex Demonor?
Demonor.
Alex Demonor.
The Demon.
If you could sit down with Alex and just have a word to him and give him some advice on how to win the Australian Open, what would you say to him?
Be yourself, play your own style.
What about on the women's side? Who's the next Australian woman to take out the singles title at the Australian Open?
All women are pretty good.
Stosser?
Ashleigh Barty.
Ash Barty is one of them. She's young, upcoming.
Hopefully Ash Barty.
What advice could you give her to get her over the line and win the first Australian Open title?
Be yourself, focus on your game plan.
Just give it your best shot.
Keep playing how she is now and she'll get there.
Don't listen to me. I wouldn't know what to tell you.
One thing you realise when you come to the Australian Open is just how big the operation is. So many people contribute to making the event run smoothly, and a vital component is tournament control. Tim Solly has more.
My name's Dennis Overberg, and I'm the supervisor of tournament control and practice.
What exactly is tournament control and practice?
Well, it sounds good, but it's a role that really has three main pillars. One of them is the practice side. So any practice that any player involved in the tournament does over four venues is controlled by my staff. So players can practice at the tennis here, right in Melbourne Park. There's the National Tennis Centre, which is just down near Richmond Station. There's Albert Reserve, which is near Albert Park Lake. And there's Scotch College. And we've got practice facilities for players at all four venues. So we control and coordinate all the practice at those four venues for the entire tournament, and it includes the juniors and the legends and everyone else, as well as the main draw players. So that's the first pillar. The second pillar is that we are the official communication medium between anything that the tournament needs to communicate to the players and coaches and the players and coaches. So all of the match arrangements, any questions players might have about signing in or procedures or rules or anything like that, that comes through us and we provide information back to the players that way. And the third pillar is we facilitate anything that needs to happen on court for a match to go ahead. So when the chair umpire picks up the phone, they talk to us. When we need to open or close the roof or move a match or call a doctor or on a day like today, ice towels or caps or ball kids faint because it's too hot, all of that stuff goes through us and we direct the calls to the right people. So it's a little bit like we're a communication centre for the matches. So they're the three main pillars of tournament control.
I've walked past you guys a fair bit. There's a big sheet of glass on your way to the players' lounge, and that's where you guys are positioned. And it kind of looks like you're working for NASA and you're about to launch a rocket in there. It looks very exciting. Can you explain a little bit what's going on behind that piece of glass there?
Yeah, well, first of all, we used to be in a bunker. So no one could see what we were doing. And I'm too scared now to pick my nose or anything like that. It's quite intimidating. And we overlook the match call area. So when we call a match, the players go to a certain area and that's where the escorts will take them to court. Now, it makes sense that we have a big window so we can see when a player is ready to go or if we need to try and find a player for their call. But at the same time, everyone can see in as well. So it's a very logical decision and it's a good decision to have the big window, but it's quite intimidating when you're working and you've got stuff going on and people are running around. You know, if there's a major issue happening, and everyone can see in.
Dennis, it's been a fascinating chat. You guys are a very important cog in keeping the Open running, and I wish you all the best for the summer of tennis ahead.
Thanks very much.
Our last story today is one that illustrates just how well looked after the players are here at Melbourne Park, and that is the player barber. I spoke with Brian Barclay, who keeps the players looking sharp.
My name is Brian Barclay. I work for Men's Biz. We've set up 2 barber chairs and we all take care of all the needs of all the players and coaches. They might just like to have a clipper cut where there's no scissors involved and we just tidy them up and groom them so it looks neat, tight and clean. Some players will come in wanting a restyle and when it comes to beards, we'll shape and style beards and some like to have a shave neckline where we'll do a whole shave process and some will come in for a facial shave.
So when a player walks in the door, what do you do to make them feel relaxed and at home and really welcomed?
Just like as if they were coming to the store, I always greet them with a handshake and introduce myself as Brian, and they all in turn do the same. We do a quick consultation because you got to be able to know what their needs are.
So what does an average day look like for you here? Is it, you know, pretty busy most of the time? You kind of, you know, got appointments one after the other and things?
On a daily basis, a lot of them are coming in first thing in the morning, straight after training, because they train more than once during the day. And we have a booking system, so we allocate 15 minutes for a clipper cut, 20 minutes to half an hour for a haircut, and for the shave process, whether it's a beard or facial, that's always a half hour. Because you want to take your time to make sure you're doing the job in a professional manner that gives them a good outlook at the end of the result, yeah.
What's the most rewarding part of being involved in the Australian Open for you?
For me, well, for starters, I've moved here from New Zealand, so this is a whole new ball game for me. I would not have gotten this experience in New Zealand for us to have this opportunity. And for me to meet people and cultures from all around the world, I have found that we're all on the same page when it comes to laughing and communication. Some of the barriers is a bit rough, but you soon work through those. And, you know, I'm here to make them relax. And, it's what an experience. It's amazing.
What a cultural experience, too. As you said, meeting people from around the world and getting to interact, you know, with these really amazing athletes and great people, too.
Mm. Well, when I came for my induction, I walked along the corridor and I saw the photos on the wall of the players, previous players, and I thought, wow, I see that on TV and here I am. I'm part of this event and, you know, it's really exciting.
Are you looking forward to, you know, seeing players on TV, seeing them in their press conferences and kind of seeing your handiwork, you know, on display in such a public way as well?
Yes, I am, because, you know, that's special. Not many can get that you know, that moment.
Brian, thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it. And enjoy your time here at the Open.
Thank you very much.
And that's all for today's show. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow for day 4.